I greet my brethren in the Lord, even as I share this title, Our Identity in Christ. But before doing so, I would like us to go to the Lord in prayers once again. Father, King of Kings, we worship and adore you this morning. We thank you, O Lord God, because you are the giver of life. Thank you, O Lord God, for how you cherish us, loving us even while we were yet lost, sending your Son Jesus Christ to die for us, that we who were once estranged from the common wealth of heaven now have inheritance in thee. Father, King of Kings, we just worship you for this. Lord God, I just empty myself before you this morning and pray for the Holy Spirit to minister through me unto your people, passing the message you have for us across this morning. Even, O Lord God, in my own stammering, let, Lord, the clarity of your words be made known unto your people, encouraging us and reigniting the hope you've given unto us. For in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen. So this morning I have decided to share the topic, Our Identity in Christ. Identity plays a very crucial part in the well-being of a person, as you know. And looking at what the Economic and Social Research Council said, a positive, affirming social identity is associated with a range of positive outcomes in life, such as increased well-being, health, amongst others. So, why is identity important to us as a person? Identity helps us to develop a strong sense of self-esteem. And it is important that we develop that sense of identity so that we have a strong sense of our own person, and we don't, so that we don't get influenced by things around us. Our self-identity affects the way we feel about ourselves and how we behave in challenging situations. And we all have, to God be the glory, I thank the Lord that as a family of Christ, we have a common identity in him. And this morning, I just want to bring this to remembrance. And as we go through different challenges in life, we thank God for testimonies we had this morning of healing in the house and other things that the Lord is doing. And I know that inasmuch as we can't fully appreciate the degree of pains that those who went through those trying periods, their pains and their anguish during those periods, what probably kept them going and what kept us going as a body of Christ was our identity in the Lord. And so I'd like us to focus a bit on it this morning. And I know that for some of us, it might not have to do with health. Some of us are going through academic challenges. Some of us are going through challenges in our businesses and professional lives. For some, it might have to do with relationship. But as we read, as I read earlier, what will sustain us, irrespective of those challenges, is our identity in the Lord. So I would like to borrow some leave from the story of Moses. And this is an interesting story, as we all know, in that this is a the story of a man born a Hebrew, raised a Hebrew in an Egyptian setting. And as we later saw, moved or was forced into the land of Midian, where, according to what I read earlier, he reported becoming a foreigner in a foreign land. What a stretch of life experience. And through all this, I want to think that there were periods where Moses might have been questioning his identity, or where people around him must have had a misconception of who he was, just as we saw the daughters of Jethro say that, behold, an Egyptian rescued us. Before going ahead, I know that coming to the Western world, people have, you know, had different views about my identity, both irrespective of colors. I'm a Nigerian by birth, now a Canadian by naturalization. But what I'm getting at is that I have had, since moving to the Western world, Ghanaians come to me and start chattering away in their native language, thinking, oh, behold a Ghanaian, a fellow Ghanaian. I've had people come to me and say, how is Jamaica? You know. And I've had some people refer to me as a South African. But what I'm getting at is this. Irrespective of the views of people about me, who did I see myself as? And who do I see myself as? Do I know my true identity? And that is what guides me as a person. And I am sure the same applies to the rest of us. But talking about Moses, he must have gone through periods of different stages in terms of where he, and that occurs to me as well, and where I'm not too sure whether the way I'm communicating, am I communicating, am I speaking Irish language, Irish English, Nigerian English, or what English? And that's because of the different exposure and the rest. And I tell you, at times, really, without having clear understanding of where one is coming from, at times you get to a state where even when you're trying to communicate, you're a bit lacking in confidence, because do I say oil? Do I say oil? Do I say, right? And but a good sense of identity is what gives you the courage to push on, even during those periods. So here is Moses, brought up, given birth to as a Jew, brought up with Jewish values, and thank God for the wise mother he had. Because, like, as we know, when Pharaoh's daughter saw him, by the reeds, and like her attention was drawn to him, she handed Moses back to his mother and saying that, look, take care of this child for me. He became adopted as a prince of Egypt. And I'm sure there would have been periods when he went to the palace and like the customs and the rest, he was being told about them as well. This is how we do, this is how we do. But the solid identity that was imprinted on him by his mom, despite all of those, made him have that sense of belonging to the Hebrews. And that was why during the time there was a conflict between the Israeli and the an Egyptian, he was able to stand up, acting as a Jew. And he continued with that. When he got to, and we saw that passion, that love for Christ, for God, because I'm sure part of the things that was imprinted on him by his mom was that, you know, fear God, care for your neighbors, and the rest. And so when he got to Midian, in verse 16, and there, when he got there, and he saw the daughters of Jethro as they were drawing water, and then some shepherds came to chase them away. That compassionate care for one's neighbor that he had been trained to have kicked in instinctively. And then he went to the rescue of the people. But because of, again, because of the environment he was brought up in, he was dressed like an Egyptian. And that brought about confusion. And I'm sure, I want to think that as he spent time with Jethro and his family, they began to realize more and more of who he truly was. How does this relate to us as Christians? I would like us to turn our scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And there we see that as Christians, God had an invested interest in us even before we were conceived. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. So, no wonder when at the right time for the manifestation, the Lord, through his grace, helped us to have our hearts opened to receive Christ in. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 1, and reads, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guidance and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God set his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoptions to sonship. Because you are his sons, God set the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also a heir. Our identity in the Lord is that we are his children. We are God's children. And we are no longer slaves. Inasmuch as genuinely we've opened our hearts to him, asking him to come in as Lord, surrendering our all in all to him, making him Lord of every part of our lives, we have become his children. And not just children, we've become joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious, glorious identity we have. And it speaks of that while we were underage, while we were living in the era of ignorance, that adoption was in the hanging. Don't forget, while we were in our mother's womb, God had already shown interest in us. And the manifestation of that transformation to, and that adoption to sonship, to become daughters of the Lord, came when we said, Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender all to you. Have your way. The Lord of my soul, I turn it all unto you. At that point in time, we moved from being underage. We moved from the era of ignorance to the era of reception, the era of accepting him, and the era of redemption. Romans 8, verses 15 to 17 reads, the spirit you received does not make you slaves. So at the time we said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be Lord. The Holy Spirit brought about the reformation of a rebirth within us. And that time, a greater measure of the Holy Spirit was released upon us. Moving from just having the breath of life in us to having the Holy Spirit nurturing and grooming us. So that spirit you receive does not make you slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Again, by him, we're able to cry, Abba, Father. It's rather surprising to see how the enemy of our faith afflicts believers just because we don't know who we are in God. Just because we don't know the authority we carry based on our identity. It is amazing how, as believers, we easily come to acceptance of whatever comes our way. It is life. It is not whatever comes our way. It goes beyond that. Rather, it is, I will make the best, I will enjoy the best of what my Father has in stock for me. And I know that his thoughts for us, they're thoughts of good, thoughts to prosper us, not to destroy us, because he has a glorious end set before us. So when we're going through challenges in life, and as humans, we can get down, way down, and the rest. As humans, we can be like Moses, getting overwhelmed by the pressure around us, the persecution that we fear we'll face because of standing up for who we are, because of identifying with the Lord. And because of that, just as Moses, it's not impossible that sometimes we find ourselves fleeing, running away, find ourselves trying to hide under the disguise of being an Egyptian. But this morning, I'd like to remind us that with Christ, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we just need to remember who we are, no matter what we are passing through. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, sheds more light on who we are. We've reminded ourselves that we are children of the Lord. We've reminded ourselves that we are joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, called forth out of darkness to show forth the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just anyone. We're not. Some things happened recently in my life. And later I began to think, why did they happen? Because I made an application for certain privileges and change of status in professional career. No, not in professional career. My professional status. And then it came out. Well, it turned out fine. It worked out. And I was so excited about it. Then, having been sure that it worked out fine, I called my colleagues and told them, look, this is what I did to get this upgrade. Why don't you do it? They went, tried it, and recently one of them was saying, Kyrie, I don't know how you did it, but we were turned down. And initially I thought, maybe it was just the timing. But later, when I got home, it began to dawn on me that, hold on, this is just more than sheer coincidence. And myself and my wife, we give God glory for what he's done. And that's because we're not just ordinary people. We have a grace hovering over us, much more than we can quantify, much more than we can see. It's there day and night. Only if the Lord can open our eyes of spiritual understanding to appreciate the magnitude of all of this. And we will cry out, how we've let a lot of things go without claiming our rights. Not too long after that, I'm not that great with reading emails. I always tell people, when you want to contact me, please don't send emails and don't send text messages, because I may not get to text messages. I may get to check maybe 3-4 days later. But if you have something serious, please give me a call. So, before I came, like, I was a member of the Royal College of Psychiatrists in UK before coming here and the rest. And then, without knowing, they did send in an email. I think that was in February or January. And it was just there, sitting there, awaiting my attention. And then, I think the deadline to respond to it, they were going to upgrade me from a member of the college to a fellow of the college. So, which is a big difference. And there was a timeline, a deadline. And as I said, there it was, just laying fallow in the email pool. And then I think the month it was to lapse, a friend just called and said, "Hey, I got this email. Did you get it as well?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm not too sure I got it." Then he said, "Oh, they sent this." I said, "Please forward it to me." So he forwarded it. And then I thought, let me go to search button, Royal College, search. And there it was, waiting. So I did what I was meant to do, to apply for it. And then again, talking to my colleagues here, I told them, "Did you get this mail address?" "No, I didn't." I said, "Oh, that's interesting." And I said, "You better check up with the college." Then days later, he called me and said, "Kayode, how have you been going about these things? How do you get all..." I said, "I don't know. I just flow my way." So we give God praise and glory for that. But we're not just ordinary people. No wonder Christ said that though you're in this world, know that you're not of this world. We are peculiar. And we need to appreciate that and live in that wise. Being joint heirs with Christ, we're meant to live our lives as ambassadors here on earth, knowing fully well that when the time comes, that we are called to glory. Be that for those of us goes through the process of transition from life to death and then to life in Christ, or for those, we don't know when he's coming back. If we're still here when he comes back, we know that we have assurance that we're going to be joint heirs with him. But in the time being, how should we live our lives? And that will take me back to Moses. So, if we look at the scripture, the Exodus chapter 2, we realize that once Moses settled down, he became complacent. He got carried away with what was happening around him. God gave into marriage. Praise God, that was great. Gave birth to a son. That was wonderful. But he became engaged. He became distracted by everyday life. And I have personally said this to some people, that Many a times I pray, oh God, forgive me and have mercy on me. Reason being that, and I don't know about you, but I know that with the business of, you know, raising a young family, business of work, business of relationships, with social relationships, I know within me that the amount of time that I should be spending with the Lord regularly on a daily basis, all those activities rob me of them. And it grieves my heart. Hence, I find myself saying, oh God, have mercy on me. I'm sure the same applies to the rest of us. But the key thing, which I praise God for, I have seen the zeal for the Lord, the zeal for the kingdom things, how they are demonstrated in our daily lives as brethren here in this household of faith. Despite that, the key thing for me is that I am consciously reminded of my identity in the Lord, of my relationship in the Lord. I, despite all those distractions, in my own little way, try to stay connected. And that's what's very important. It's very important for us to keep reminding ourselves. It pains me and grieves my heart. And it's possible that you know people like that as well. To see how the cares for the things of this world had distracted some people. I know of people that when we were growing up, in our teenage years, in our 20s, they were what we call firebrand for the Lord. And you saw God really walking through them. Demonstration of, you could see the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit being manifested in their lives. And you could see demonstration of giftings of the Lord. We hear of gifts of healing. We hear of gifts of prophecy and things like that. Many a times because of the level of healthcare in the Western world, we don't get to appreciate them as much. But for someone like me coming from a third world country, and for people who have gone on evangelism to third world countries, you actually see these gifts being made manifest. Because there's no one else to cry to. Is it the government that don't give a hoot of whether you are there or not? Is it the health system that is totally crumbled? And the only one, brethren in those areas, can hang on strongly is the Lord. So you see the gifts being made manifest. Here when I have, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, please don't get me wrong. Here I know that for some time I've been having some sore shoulders, soreness in my shoulder. The first thing I defaulted to, Tylenol. But there, when there's no Tylenol, the first thing you default to is, oh God, I need healing. Right? So, but where I'm getting at is that you've seen people, right, who were people you revered and you respected based on distractions here and there. They lost touch of who they were. They lost that identity. They got engaged in things of the world and got swept away by it. For us, it's not by power, lest we should boast. It's by God's grace, no doubt. But the other thing, when you do an analysis in the lives of those people, is that you realize that they drifted off from who they were with time. And they started compromising. This is how it's done. I'll look odd. Why should I stand my ground? Right? I just need to compromise. And some of those compromises they made were compromises on their spiritual stance, losing their identity in Christ. And during those trying periods, Moses got carried away. But thank God, because we have a gracious God who is interested in the well-being of his children. And as we read on, when we go to chapter 3 of Exodus, we saw how the Lord refocused Moses, how he brought him back to where he should be, how the Lord reestablished relationship with him, and how Moses, having his eyes of spiritual understanding opened, never looked back thereafter. And that's what I will encourage us to keep doing, to remain standing in the Lord. We are ambassadors here on earth, and more than the lovely things of being joint heirs, being heirs of the kingdom, being a peculiar people and the rest, we're ambassadors. And I wouldn't go through that, but we can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. And there we realize that we are ambassadors. And as ambassadors of Christ, we need to comport ourselves in certain manners. The level of accountability from us is much more higher than what you expect from someone else. I was just thinking while I was thinking about this. I tried to think about the royal family in England, right? So, for myself, as a commoner, I can do, dress anyhow, do things anyhow, and the rest. But when they come out, even though I may be fortunate to have a prince as my friend, right? Inasmuch as, yes, he identifies with me as a friend, being a commoner, he knows who he is. And you see him upholding that standard wherever he goes, because there is held at a higher standard compared to myself. I may come and speak street English. He will come and we speak impeccable Queen's English, right? So, and that is the royal family here on earth. How much more ourselves as members of the heavenly royal family. So in our speech, in our engagement with others, in our relationships, we should remember that we are a light set on the hill, and we should let our light so shine that all may give glory to our Father in heaven. Finally, regarding Moses, when he rediscovered his identity, and when he stuck with it, the Lord never left him. It wasn't all rosy for him. He went through challenges. He was. There were periods when people that he cared for said things against him. There were periods when he faced the persecution from the Egyptians while trying to lead the people of God to the promised land. But in it all, God stood by him. The same thing as he is of the kingdom. We're here on earth. We'll face different challenges. And what the Lord reassures us, because we are his children, is that though you pass through the water, through the rivers, though you pass through the waters, you will not get drowned, because I am with you, because you are my child. Though you are surrounded by fires, though you walk through it, in whatever way it might be manifesting, be reminded of the identity you have in me, because I am with you. No matter what you and I might be going through now, I'm just encouraging us this morning that we should constantly remember our identity in the Lord, that we are heirs of the Father. And as heirs of the Father, he is with us. He said that even if it's possible for a woman to forget her suckling baby, he said, I will not forget you because you're my children. I've engrafted you on the palms of my hands. What a great, great reassurance. And I'm just encouraging you in the Lord this morning that remember who you are in him. You are precious in his sight. And what you're going through is just temporary. It has a glorious ending prepared for you. And paraventure, there's anyone in the house that is yet to have a connection with this our great and marvelous, indescribable God. You also have the chance of becoming a child of the Lord. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have life eternal. And the Bible also writes that as many, and I'm going to round up with that, that's the book of John chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll read. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this message this morning is not only to those who have experienced a rebirth in the Lord already, but if you're there, you are yet to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are yet to accept him into your life, be encouraged this morning to do so. Because as you open up to him, you also will become a part of the commonwealth of heaven. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words shared this morning. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for how you've used me as a vessel to share these words. And I pray, Lord God, that this word will have the desired impact in the lives of the hearers and in my own life as well. That we'll be constantly reminded of our identity in you, that we are your heirs, O Lord, that we are a peculiar people, we are a holy nation. Father, O Lord God, we just pray that as we hang on to this, the Lord, challenges and obstacles in our lives, we see them overcome. And even if it pleases you, if it's your own desire for us to go through with those challenges, that Lord God would be encouraged by our inheritance in you. Thank you, King of Kings. For in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen.